April 14th, 1912, the Titanic sank in a little over 3 hours. Thousands of people perished in just a matter of minutes. The White Star Company was the builder of the ship. And after all of the investigations and everything, if you were to go to the White Star Company, maker of the ship, and you walk in their front door, there on the wall was a list. Those known to be saved on one side. And on the other side of the board was those known to be lost. They never wanted to forget that tragedy. They never wanted to get over the horrific nature of that event. Well, I come to you with a much greater tragedy that I want you never to get over. And that is that your loved ones, listen to me, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your aunts and uncles, your neighbors, the people that you work with, they are going to be either in the lost list or the saved list. And my concern is, we as Christians, we're not doing all we can to get these lost people into the saved category. So today I want to come and I want to love you. I want to encourage you, but I want to light a fire under a whole lot of us, because there's too many people in our community that are on the lost list. And I'm here to say that we at Beulah Baptist, we must do more to get them on the saved list. This morning, four specifics about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sermon's entitled, Harvesting with Jesus. First truth I want you to see. Notice Jesus' community. The community of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, many would have expected Jesus just to put up a sign, Messiah in residence, come find eternal life. You would think that Jesus would just sit on his throne and say, hey, I came from heaven. You can't come the rest of the way. You come to me and I'll give you eternal life. But you look at this verse. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. See that word went? Going in this time was difficult. Going in this time was unsafe. Going in this time was tiring. Going in this time, they didn't have fancy cars. They wore sandals on dusty, messy, gross roads. So Jesus, in order to go, he had to get messy. The Lord of the universe came to get down and dirty for lost people. I come to you. What are you doing for lost people? What are you doing to get involved in their lives to tell them about Jesus? Is it helping them with their garden? Is it helping them with their car? I'm here to say Jesus went to where they were. Notice what it says. He went about the cities and the villages. There were, we're told, 200 cities and villages in Galilee. Probably 300 million people. Jesus went to all classes of people. The cities were where the government was, where the finance and education places were, where the industry was, where the sports and science and the corn was. They're there in the city. But he went to the out-of-the-way places as well. He went to the villages where those simple rural folk, they didn't have as much as they do in the city, where all they had was just their cows and some corn. and a place to lay their head. Jesus was comfortable with the Nicodemuses of the world and the Zacchaeuses of the world, who was up a tree. Jesus went, it says, to all of them. Who are you going with to talk about Jesus? This week, did you speak up for Jesus at all? If not, can I ask why? Is Jesus so insignificant to you? You never speak up for him? This past summer, I was on my tractor bush hogging. So the bush hog's back there, and I'm driving my tractor. And I had a couple of ants get on me. So you got a preacher, a city kid, driving a tractor. I mean, I look kind of peculiar to my neighbors. But then when the ants start biting me, I'm trying to steer, and I'm trying to... Well, they keep on coming, and I realize that I have ants in my gauges. So these, I mean, I'm bush hogging for 2 hours, and these, the whole time I'm just swiping. I mean, I look pretty ridiculous all the time, but my neighbors were watching me that day. I mean, sometimes they were, and I couldn't just jump off and let it run down there. I needed to get the bush hogging done, so I just kept killing the ants, trying to get the job done. Listen, there's a lot of excuses we can make for quitting. There's a lot of saying, no, I just got this problem, and I got this problem, and I got this problem. I'm not going to do it. Listen. There are lost people, and you and I need to get the job done. So if we got to swipe at some ants, let's not throw in the towel. There are people dying and going to hell in our community. With who you work with. And if you don't speak up for Jesus, who is? The community of Jesus. Notice, secondly, the compassion of Jesus. Look at verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, it's a deep, long gaze. Not just a glance. He looked into them. In order for him to sympathize with them, he had to look at where they were. Now, I got this trait from my mother. I'm a people watcher. And Tracy and I have been doing some traveling. We were in the airport just sitting yesterday. And there are a lot of strange folk in the airport these days. I mean, some of the outfits that these people wear, I mean, they're just kind of... I mean, I'm doing double takes. So some of the hairdos, I mean, they're kind of, I'm like, did that person intend for their hair to do that? A lot of times all we do is glance at the people and we are repugnated by some of their surface issues. Jesus, it says here, he saw them. He looked past the surface colorings and look deep into the needs of their life. Listen to me. Some of the people that you work with, some of you are drawn back by their sharp tongue, their quick reactions, their demeanor, how they carry themselves. If you're going to have compassion like Jesus did, you got to look deeply. That lady that's so mean, I wonder why she's like that. See, it's hurting people that hurt people. So there's a reason why she's so mean. Do you ever look past her quick reactions to see her need? Jesus did. Look at the verse. Saw the multitudes. It says he was moved with compassion on them. The compassion there, it means he got a sucker punched. He ached for them. when Jesus saw these people, His heart broke for them. Who causes tears to come into your eyes when you think about who you work with or who you live around or that one family member? That was Jesus. And if we're going to reach this community, we must be moved with compassion. Look on the verse. Because they fainted. It was used of skinning an animal. Life had cut these people to the core. They were battered. They were bruised. They were ripped apart. They were exhausted. And Jesus saw these people, these different people, and He saw their needs. These people are hurting. They're fainted. They're scattered. See the next one? They're cast down. If a sheep ever fell down on its back, it could never get up. It would starve to death. It would die. It needed help to get back up. And some of the people in your life, they are fainting, they are falling out, they're trying drugs, and they're trying opioids, and they're trying alcohol, and they're trying everything under the sun because they have no hope. And a lot of times we in the church, we're saying, oh, I don't like the way they're dressed, or I don't like the words they say, I don't like the activities they do. Hey, forget that. Look past those issues and look to their heart. They need Jesus. Problem is, too many of us don't care enough to take them Jesus because we don't like how they're dressed or we don't like their language. Look what it says. Sheep having no shepherd. A sheep without a shepherd is helpless. They'll starve. They'll eat some poisonous plant. They'll be attacked by some wild animal. They'll never find their way home. They'll just wander off. And they'll die. Friend, listen to me. The problem with that family member, the problem with that person you work with, the problem with that guy down the road, he doesn't have a shepherd. He's lost. He's hopeless. He will never make it to heaven, but he will never make it in this life because he's shepherdless. You have the good shepherd. Are you going to tell that person who doesn't have a shepherd about the good shepherd? Or are you just going to look down your nose at him? Hey, here's my challenge. What are you doing to reach this community for Jesus? Just go throughout this community, go throughout your neighborhood and say, God, what are some needs that there are in this community that I could meet? What are some issues in this community that I could help remedy? That's what William Booth did. Oh, he went to church every Sunday, and the cathedrals of England, the Anglican church, oh, they were pristine. They were nice. They were glamorous. But there were all these poor, hungry children all over London. And he saw these poor, hungry, many times orphan children that were hungry. And he says, hey, me, I got to do something. And listen, there are needs where you work. And you can just turn up your nose and say, yeah, I don't like that about how I work. And yeah, those neighbors down there, I don't like that. Or you can say, there are needs right here that I could meet. William Booth and his wife. Their theme, soup, soap, and salvation. And they went around, the alliterated guy there, he went around London saying, hey, you need soup? You hungry? Come, let us help you. Hey, you need soap? Come, we'll help you get cleaned up. Hey, and we want to tell you about Jesus. Friend, listen to me. There are needs that you can meet, and you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to teach Sunday school. Where you live and where you work, what are you doing to promote Jesus, the compassion of the Savior? Thirdly, notice this. The concern of Jesus, look at verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Notice the last phrase. The laborers are few. Now, Jesus changes metaphors here. He has been talking about sheep. Now he's starting to talk about harvesters. Jesus, why are you changing metaphors? Well, the sheep and the shepherd shows man's need for God. Jesus comes to where we are. We as his under shepherds are to go where they are and bring them into Jesus. The harvest and the workers shows, listen to this, God's need for us. Now, he could have done the gospel evangelistic story, the Great Commission, himself. But he needs workers. He needs you. He needs Neil Jackson to say, yeah, I'll be a harvester. I'll go out there and I'll help bring in the huge bounty of crops. Listen to what Jesus says. The laborers are few. Jesus, you left heaven. Jesus, you came to earth. Jesus, you made the plan of redemption. Surely all of your followers would say, yeah, I'll work. I'll go. Yeah, February 23rd, there's a couple things on that list that I don't want to do. But preacher, sign me up. Give me the t-shirt. I'll go work. Jesus would say, laborers are few. Who's sharing Jesus at your work?
Well, I just don't like my job.
Laborers are few.
Well, I don't like my boss.
Yeah, but the laborers are few.
Yeah, but the company's not run well.
Yeah, but the laborers are few. And God put you there to be a missionary. Jesus says, the laborers are few. R.A. Torrey made this statement. And it rocks me to the core of my being. Listen. I would like to ask, what right does a man have to call himself a follower of Jesus if he never shares Jesus?
So you say, yeah, preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven.
And I say, amen. When's the last time you spoke up for Jesus? Why not? Folks, my concern is we've gotten so complacent in all of our riches of American society that the world is perishing around us. We don't even care. Number three, the concern of Jesus. Number four, the command of Jesus. I'm done. Look at verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Laborers there are day laborers, minimum wage workers on a farm. He said, hey, pray for workers. No seminary education is needed. No experience is required. No. Just bottom rung, entry level people. Pray that somebody would go and just say, hey, Jesus changed my life. And he can change yours. You can do that. Look at the first two words. Hey, all of these people, they're perishing. They're scattered. Man, they're shepherdless. What are we supposed to do? Jesus says, pray. What are we supposed to pray? What he says, that he will send forth laborers. You look up that send forth in the Greek, it means to cast out. The same way that throughout Scripture they cast out demons. He said, pray that God would cast out, or God would kick out, or God would light a fire under people.
to get them to share Jesus.
Hold a second, hold a second. That's too many of us. Too many of us have forgotten what it means to be lost. Too many of us have forgotten what it means to be on our way to hell. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever to burn and never to be consumed. Jesus came because He didn't want you to have Satan's punishment. He wanted you to have heaven's glory. So He took your hell so that you could take His heaven. And He's trusted us to go and share. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Pray that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Chapter 10, verse 1. And when He had called unto them His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. So He says, pray. And He says, let's go work. Pray first. Hey, God, we need Your assistance. God, there's not enough workers around this place. We need You to raise up some workers. And while You are raising up workers, we're going to go work. Friend, that is the invitation for you this week. Pray daily. God, we need more workers around here. We need more young people. We need more middle-aged people. We need some more old people. We need some men. We need some ladies. We need some girls. We need some boys. We need some people that'll work. But while You are raising them up, I'm going, you realize there's 170 million people that have professed that they do not know Jesus living in America. In America, where we have Christian radio everywhere. In America, where we have whole stations that are Christian television stations. Where we have churches literally on every corner. 170 plus million people that do not know Jesus. Paul said, I speak this to your shame. You say, preacher, what am I supposed to do about 170 plus million people? What can I do? It's a great question. Speak up for Jesus where you live. Imagine if you just said, I'm going to make some cookies and I'm going to take them to the neighbors on both sides. And they say, why are you doing this? Just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. How about that meanest person that you work with? Hey, sir, can I take you out to eat? I got a hunkering for Outback Steakhouse. And they're open at lunch. Can I take you to Outback? And it's on me, I'm buying. And you take him out and he's saying, nobody does this for me. I'm a jerk. Why would you take me out to Outback and pay for it and give me that whole, that chocolate foaming thing? Why would you do that? And you say, Jesus. You say, what do I do about that 170 million? You speak up for Jesus where you go to school. You speak up for Jesus where you work. You speak up for Jesus when He gives you an opportunity, that person in the line that's bemoaning how bad life is. You say, hey, can I tell you something that'll make it all better? Jesus loves you, and you just hand them a track. Listen, folks, we are too complacent, and our world is perishing. Our world is dying. Our world is falling off the cliff, going to hell. And we're having glorious church. Folks, listen, this is the huddle. The football team, they'll meet together, and they'll huddle. And then they say, break, let's go execute. We have perfected the huddle, but we have not perfected the execution. We're getting killed. No. I'm getting killed. You're getting killed. There's people being killed all around us because we're not speaking up for Jesus. Invitation is this. This week, God, give me an opportunity every day just to speak up for you. Maybe it's taking somebody a meal that's a shut-in, going through some kind of bereavement, going through some kind of hospital space. You just lay something on my heart that I can do. I'll speak up for you. That's the invitation. And if you say, I'm not going to do it, then I say, are you a Christian? For if you know Jesus and He has changed and transformed your life, how can you not speak up for Him? True story. Hudson Taylor was traveling by Chinese boat from Shanghai to Ningpingo, talking with this gentleman on the boat. Name was Peter. Talking to him about Jesus, and he was just not quite ready. Under conviction, Hudson says he could see it in his eyes. Under conviction, but just not quite ready to accept Jesus. Something happened. The guy tripped over something, and he fell off the side of the boat. Hudson Taylor says, hey, stop the boat, stop the boat, stop the boat. Man overboard, man overboard. They stopped the boat. Nobody jumped in to help the guy. So Hudson Taylor, he jumps in and he goes and he's looking for the guy, but he can't find him. And there's another boat out there that had been fishing. He says, hey, drag the net quick. There's a man down. They said, no, we're fishing. We're too busy. No, we're not going to do it. He said, no, I'll pay you. Come on, Jay. They're bartering while this guy is dying. Hudson Taylor says, I gave him every penny. He said, all right, I promised him every penny that I had. They came within 2 minutes. They drug the nets and they found this guy. Dead. Because they were too busy fishing, too busy sailing, that they did not save the one that was dying. Folks, listen to me. People that you work with, people that you live around, people that is in your own family are dying. And you and I are too busy fishing. Too busy just selling the lake of life. And I'm here to say, make a commitment today to see people the way Jesus saw them. And when He gives you an opportunity, speak up. You say, but I might not say it right. Speak up. You say, yeah, but I might get tongue-tied. Speak up. They're dying. And when people are dying, they don't care how you're talking. They don't care if you're very articulate. They just need somebody to help. This week, will you speak up for Jesus?